Faunod Equestria Starlight, Chapter 32, Everfree. I think you'd like Daring. She's a lot like you. Adventurous, fierce, and undeniably, unquestionably, unstoppable. Evolution, the process of change, environmental pressure sharpening and molding life. In the short time that I spent in the Everfree Forest, I knew that evolution was both a terrifying and wondrous thing. Despite Ponykind's best efforts, the Everfree Forest had continued to evolve and grow, becoming a haven where survival of the fittest is the first rule of Hoof. It is a threatening, dangerous environment filled with beasts, plants, and the relics of a forgotten past. Ponies helped the evolution of the Everfree Forest along. There was no way the lab we had found was the only one. There could be dozens dotting the deadly forest. The creatures the pre-war researchers had cultivated there were lethal, potential weapons that eventually turned on their creators. I often wonder, what am I evolving into? Were both Discord and the Twilight Society right? Am I a threat to everything that ponies hold dear? Will I evolve into something deadly and evil that will ultimately destroy the wasteland?
There you are. Now come along before I have to get her out, eh?
The orange alicorn's eyes were ablaze as she stared across the broken walls at me. I gritted my teeth, bringing up Stargazer immediately. The other alicorn flapped her wings, moving to the sides as I fired and missed. The mare golem spun around, landing a solid kick in the rubble that was the wall. The entire building shook with the force of the blow, large chunks of debris flying towards me. Instinctively, I threw up my alicorn shield, the cinder blocks splashing against it in plumps of grit.
Shit!
I thought as I looked down at where the charge was sitting. The rumbling had jarted from the mount it was on. A loud shriek noise filled the air as one of the insect beasts flew out from the air duct. It buzzed loudly, locking onto the target that wasn't shielded. The orange alicorn paid no attention to the insects, casually lifting a hoof and slapping it away. The creature exploded from below, chunks hitting the wall in a mess of blood and gore.
Shit!
I thought frantically. I really did not want to get hit by this mare. The orange alicorn grinned, reaching around and kicking another one of the support columns. It snapped like a twig, the entire building groaning loudly. I really, really hoped that Violet and the others were outside safely.
Star!
A voice shouted down the stairs. Violet's face poked around the door, instantly turning pale at the sight in front of her. I nearly face-hoofed.
Violet, you've got to get every pony out of here!
I called back.
This whole place is going down!
My mare friend yelped, running back up the stairs to round up the others. I returned my attention to the orange alicorn who was hovering in place, smirking at me. She lowered her hoof on the rock, shattering it with a mere touch. My eyes widened as I watched the floor and ceiling begin to crack. I lashed out with my telekinesis, yanking the chart away from the mount before the ground below it fell away. The chart flew through the air, making it safely into my saddlebags. The ceiling crashed down, countless tons of debris showering down upon me. I called upon Shining Armor's shield spell and lifted into the air, punching through the cinder blocks and wood and out into open air. A brief glance down revealed that the others had indeed managed to get out of the lab. Violet was floating Steeljack along. The stallion appeared to be unconscious still. The orange alicorn lazily floated up to eye level as I hovered there. I glared at her. She had a bemused expression on her face, almost as if she didn't really care that I'd gotten the chart or that I'd escaped her little trap.
So, which one are you?
They used to call me Honesty, but now they call me Deceit. The orange alicorn replied. And you're coming with me, right on, Star?
I don't think so,
I said, patting my saddle back.
I've got the other half of the chart now. I'm going to stop Spark and put you all back where you belong.
To my surprise, the orange mare chuckled.
What's so funny?
Do you honestly think the spirit of chaos would have felt something so powerful in just one place? She said.
My eyes widened as I realized what she was implying. No, not implying, outright telling me.
Well, so piece you have is one of four. We already have one of them. The other three out there being hunted down by the others. I was assigned to hunt down you after cruelty failed to contain you.
Well, you can't have this one, I said, lifting Stargazer. And I'm not going with you anywhere.
That's too bad. Looks like we'll have to do this the hard way, the seed said, her eyes flaring an angry orange.
I blinked. The mare disappeared, slamming into my still-active shield with a fierce buck that sent the entire bubble, myself included, speeding towards the ground. I hit hard, shaken inside the shield as it dropped. Pain shot through my entire body as I bounced off the bottom of the shield. I let Shining Armor's shield spell drop as I crumpled to the ground, fighting to catch my breath.
Star!
Violet shouted, galloping over to me. I pushed myself off the ground, coughing. Violet extended a hoof, helping me up. I glared up at the orange alicorn. She hovered there, impassively. Violet followed my gaze.
Star, what's going on? Who is that?
Honesty,
I said, gritting my teeth.
Violet, you take the others and get back. I need to deal with this now.
Are you sure? Violet said, her eyes pleading with me. I nodded.
No more running, I said. I need to know more about the elements. You guys need to be away from here.
I grimaced, looking up at Deceit. Violet backed up, galloping over to the others. They started moving away from the destroyed research lab. I growled under my breath, taking to the sky. The research lab was in major disarray below, the pylons holding it to the side of the cliff in danger of falling to the valley. I matched Deceit's altitude, lifting Stargazer out.
You're persistent, the orange alicorn said. I'll give you that, but I'm stronger and I will be taking you back to Spark.
Why?
I snarled, challenging the other mare.
Why are you helping her? The memories of the elements that I saw. You would have never helped Spark attempt something so insane.
Ponies change, Deceit stated simply. War, it never changes, but ponies do. War makes ponies do horrific things. We grow tired of your pathetic world.
Ponies want to be better, can't you see that? The Lightbringer showed every pony that.
I snarled. I thought about the MMMM, the ponies there in theater trying to give the city of Chickacolt what they needed with the promise of clean water, good food, and a place to stay. It wasn't glamorous or heroic. It was necessary.
They want to make the wasteland a better place every day.
And yet they continue to fail, Deceit replied. Just like you don't actually believe in her as a Lightbringer. You think of her as a destroyer. That is the true nature of ponies. Now then, that's enough of that, don't you think? We were doing this the hard way, remember?
She grinned, flaring out her wings. Mere seconds passed as the mare shot across the sky, slamming into me hard. Pain shot through my chest and shoulders as I fell to the ground. Deceit followed after me this time, landing on the ground as I hit. I hacked up blood, my insides feeling like they were on fire. The orange alicorn stomped hard, her horn flaring as several chunks of rock shot up through the earth. I went flying through the air, grunting. I picked myself back up, quickly realizing that I didn't have Stargazer. The minigun had fallen to the ground away from where Deceit had originally knocked me down. I coughed again, more blood spraying onto the stones. I wiped myself with a fetlock.
Shit, this is not good,
I thought.
This one is a lot faster than cruelty. How in the hell am I supposed to cast Violet's memory spell if I can't follow her attack?
Deceit stood at the far end of the underbrush, grinning. Ignoring the pain, I charged forward, reaching out with my magic to grab Stargazer. As soon as my weapon was back in my grasp, I activated ESATS, queuing up several shots at the orange alicorn. Time went back to normal and Stargazer sped its hot payload across the clearing. Deceit kicked down, sending a spray of rocks in front of her that ate the brunt of the shots.
Cured, but we remember what you did to cruelty, she said. You will not so lucky get again.
She kicked a forehoof, a sharp motion that sent a wave of rocks in a line at me. I growled, leaping to the side and firing again with Stargazer. Deceit jumped away, the bullets going wide. She charged at me, her wings tucked in. I yelped, throwing up a shield spell. Deceit barreled into it, shattering it and sending me flying across a clearing. I tumbled along, finally landing in a heap.
Shit!
I grunted, coughing.
I pushed myself up, standing shakily. Deceit stood there, her stance mocking my every movement. I growled, galloping forward as best as I could, floating along Stargazer. I sent a spray of fire at the other mare, forcing her to jump out of the way. I tracked her as she moved, sending another wave of bullets into her path. Deceit grinned, flaring her horn and creating a wall of rocks that blocked them. The orange alicorn kicked out, sending a shower of debris at me. I raised my shield, the rubble impacting on the shimmering purple barrier. Flinging the spell away, I opened my wings and leapt into the air, sending a telekinetic blast down at Deceit. The other mare grinned, raising a shield of her own. My blast dispersed harmlessly over her shield. I scowled, reaching out and casting my gravity spell on the opposing mare's barrier. It shimmered briefly, but held its position.
"Oh, a gravity spell? How quaint," Deceit said. "You sure are interesting, Sugarcube."
"Don't call me that," I retorted. "Try this on for size."
My horn ignited, casting the gravity spell on the debris surrounding the alicorn. I grinned as the rock zipped into the sky. I dismissed the spell, bringing the mass of debris down towards my opponent. I lifted Stargazer, firing wildly. Deceit dropped her shield spell, kicking down to create a rock wall that blocked the shots. It didn't block the 10 tons of rocks that slammed into her, though. Dust billowed off the tomb I'd made for her.
"If that doesn't hold her, then..."
I started to sink. An orange hoof slammed out of the rock, spraying the rubble everywhere as Deceit emerged. She had a sharp grin on her face. She swept her forelegs through the pile as she climbed out, shooting several missiles of rock right at me. I grunted as I was knocked back, hitting the ground with a crash. I groaned, standing immediately as Deceit started forward. I glared at her intensely.
"Your spells are no match for my strength," Deceit said. "I'm simply too strong for you."
"And I'm Princess Celestia," I said, gritting my teeth. "Doesn't mean a fucking thing to me. I'm still not coming with you."
I was running through everything I knew about this mare so far in the back of my mind. She was strong, almost ridiculously strong. I had yet to be hit by a direct blow, and I already knew that I didn't want to be. She was also incredibly fast. I couldn't even begin to keep up with her. Is this how all of the elements' mortal forms were? And yet, it felt almost like she was holding back. I grimaced.
"Cured," Deceit replied. "But flippin' jokes will get you nowhere in this fight. Let me show you what true strength is."
The orange alicorn grunted, slamming her back hoofs into the ground. The earth itself quivered beneath her stomp, several large rocks popping up from below. Deceit's horn ignited, turning the rocks into a whirling barrier of death that surrounded her. She grinned, charging forward. The rock barrier turned into something akin to a machine gun as several rock charts ejected from the storm of debris. I yelped, lifting my alicorn shield, but the charts punched through it like it was butter. One of the charts struck me on the shoulder, drawing blood and forcing me to the ground. Deceit stopped short of me, grinning as I pushed myself into a kneeling position. My vision was blurry. I wasn't going to last much longer. I needed to do something.
"Star!"
Violet shouted. I looked up to see my love ray thunder flash. She fired, the silvery bolt striking Deceit in the side. While it was enough to stagger her, the blast did little else. Lilith and Nixie stood by Star, ready to fight. Sunshine stood guard further up the ridge of a Steeljack who appeared to still be unconscious. Deceit snarled, kicking her front hoofs down into the ground, sending a rock wave ripping across the forest. Violet flew backwards, hitting the earth hard, her beam rifle clattering next to her. Nixis and Lilith held their ground, the Hellhound taking the opportunity to leap into the fray.
"Pitiful," Deceit said.
I shouted for them to leave, but they didn't listen. Violet pushed herself off the ground, picking Thunderflash back up as Nixis closed on the seat. The Hellhound roared, launching into a flurry of strikes against the alicorn. Despite her stony exterior, Nixis's claws seemed to find purchase in the orange mare's skin. Blood seeped out from the shallow wounds that he left as Deceit backpedaled, igniting her horn. She threw up a shield, pushing the Hellhound away. Nixis went flying, hitting the ground with a grunt next to Lilith.
"I've already fought one of you," the black mare said. "And she was a pushover. I'm gonna have fun with this.
She flared her wings and I grimaced as I pushed myself up. I had to do something. I had to help. I snarled loudly, firing a burst of shots with Stargazer. The orange mare turned and dodged, dropping her shield spell as she moved. Lilith was ready for her. With a flash, she was up in the air and had set the bitch to work. The missile soared across the clearing, impacting the alicorn and setting her ablaze. I blinked through the flames and smoke.
Did we do it? Violet said as she made her way to my side.
I narrowed my gaze at where Deceit had been standing. A black form appeared amidst the smoke screen, revealing the completely unblemished body of the alicorn. She grinned as she kicked down into the ground, sending a spray of rocks through the air. The debris knocked Lilith spinning, forcing the black mare to the ground in a heap.
You're right, Deceit said. That was fun. Now step aside. My business is with Radiant Star, not you.
Never, Violet hissed. I won't let you hurt her.
She lifted Thunderflash, sending several gouts of silver towards the orange alicorn. Deceit moved lazily to the side, kicking into the ground. A line of rocks came shooting towards us. My eyes widened as I flared my own horn, picking Violet up and pushing her off to the side. I took the brunt of the blow, falling back to the ground. I was beyond the pain, feeling almost nothing but a tingle. Was that a bad thing? Should I be feeling something? I didn't have time to think about it before Deceit was on top of me, ready to kick down. And yet, she didn't. She stopped short, her expression stern.
You are quite resilient, Radiant Star. I admit I'm enjoying this, she said. Now then, come along quietly. I do not wish to kill you. You are important.
I'm not important, I snarled. There it is, I thought. That's why she's holding back. She needs me. Spark needs me. She couldn't kill me even if she wanted to.
An idea formed in my mind. I needed to throw her off. My horn flared, ripping a very charred-edged rock from a nearby pile of rubble. I held it to my neck, glaring at Deceit.
Leave us alone, or I will drive this into my neck. I'll be dead before you get close to me, bitch.
Deceit's eyes widened.
You wouldn't dare, she said.
I could see that she was trying to resolve some sort of inner conflict as she grimaced. Finally, she looked up at me.
You're lying.
Try me,
I said, pressing the chart into my neck for a brief second. A trickle of blood oozed down the chart. Deceit's eyes widened again and she charged forward to try and stop me. I grinned, holding the chart until she was right on top of me. She batted the chart away and met my gaze, her eyes showing the realization that I had caught her in my trap. My horn flared, forcing her head down with my telekinesis. As her horn touched mine, I released the memory spell and the world fell away into nothingness.
You're all fired!
I blinked as shouts from the room I was sitting in echoed all around me. I looked up at the source of the discontent. The Ministry Mayor of Technology stood tall and proud at the head of the table. Several business ponies from Equestrian's major wartime industries sat lining the meeting room, all of them fired up and shouting at the orange earth pony. At each of her sides, a steel ranger stood ready to fend off any attack. I sat in the middle of the table, watching the memory like a spectator.
What do you mean we're fired? You think you can order us around? That's your problem with us.
Applejack sighed, lifting a hoof. She had a pained expression on her face.
Look, y'all can either see yourselves out the door, or I can have these fine young soldier boys do it for you, she said forcefully. I'm sick and tired of seeing what y'all are doing to Equestria, and that's the honest truth.
One of the stallions snarled.
You get rid of your companies and you'll see your ministry dragged down with us, he spat. You need us just as much as we need you.
Applejack smirked.
Oh, I didn't say I was firing your companies, she said. I'm firing you all, and only you all. I need ponies I can depend on, ponies who will work on the projects that I want to. We don't need guns that will kill our own soldiers. We don't need your direction.
That's preposterous, another of the stallions said. We'll raise this issue to the princess, you can't just fire us.
The princess has already been informed and she agrees. We're aiming to end this war, gentle colts. And that requires gumption, I'm sorry to say. You all don't have.
Applejack replied.
I personally don't need a bunch of snake-wearing leather suits ponies who think they know better than me sneaking around my back and trying to kill me. Or did y'all forget about the grenade?
That's a very deep accusation, Ministry Mayor,
the stallion at the end of the table said.
We've always been loyal to you. Loyal? You wouldn't know what loyalty was if it bit you on the ass,
Applejack retorted.
Now, I've got a meeting in 30 minutes with y'all's replacements. Good, hard-worked and honest ponies I can trust.
She glanced at the two steel rangers.
Boys, show these gentlecoats the door, please, and try not to be too rough.
The two steel rangers started forward, pointing their battle saddles at the assembled business ponies, who grudgingly got up from their seats and exited the room. I was left alone as one of the steel rangers stayed behind. He looked back at the ministry mayor.
Applejack. Yeah, I'm all right,
the orange earth pony replied.
Don't even need to ask, Applesnack. Look, think I could get a moment alone? I want to pull myself together after dealing with these ponies. Gotta be fresh for next meeting, after all.
Absolutely. I'll be right outside here if you need me,
the steel ranger said. He stepped out of the room and closed the door. I stood myself, watching as Applejack regarded me curiously.
You shouldn't be here,
she said, her mouth slowing down and freezing as a brilliant form of honesty appeared behind her.
You must leave, now.
No, I said. I came here to end this, and I intend to do just that. It's curious how an element such as yourself has a memory like this one. Why, I thought you were above normal ponies.
Applejack was hardly a normal pony,
Honesty said.
She was an honest, loving mare. I miss her dearly.
I grimaced.
So why help Spark then? You know as well as I do that the Applejacks of the future will be nothing underneath her rule.
I challenged.
You know nothing,
Honesty said, looking down at the orange mare beneath her.
There will never be another Applejack.
There doesn't need to be, I said. There may not be another Applejack, but there has to be some pony out there who embodies honesty.
The orange Alicorn grimaced.
There is one pony,
she said.
But Spark, she holds power over us. She has control. She is a binding force, the element who holds the other five together. We cannot act against her while her model form still exists.
You did once before. What changed?
I asked. Honesty sighed, slumping to her haunches.
We lost them,
she said, pointing at Applejack.
They were our strength, our rock, pillars of unbridled hope in a hopeless world. We needed them just as much as they needed us.
I blinked.
Wait, are you saying because you had a bearer, that was why you were able to resist Spark?
I said. Honesty nodded.
You said there was a pony, a new bearer?
A new bearer for a new age,
Honesty said.
Well then, why not just go to that pony?
I said.
Or call out to that pony for help. Surely they can help us.
Honesty shook her head.
It's not the right time, she replied. The others must be present. So Spark must find all of the new bearers before we can be summoned that way.
But if Spark has her way, that won't happen,
I said.
She'll transcend being an element and become a goddess, preventing the element bearers from claiming the element of harmony.
Honesty nodded again.
In order for Spark's spirit to be correctly reassociated with the bearer, she will need to be made dormant once more, like we were before you woke us,
she said.
She will need to be sealed.
I narrowed my gaze at the orange mare.
Sealed?
I said. In the back of my mind I knew what she was referring to and I didn't like it.
Yes, just like Twilight did to her,
Honesty said.
The sealing spell that she performed forced Spark to become dormant, trapping her in the charts of energy you have found. That spell will be need to be performed again.
But,
I said, looking down at my wings. Twilight's spell, it required certain sacrifices. Was I ready to make that decision? Could I even consider it? Eyes blazing, I looked back up at Honesty.
What if I don't want to do that? What if I decide there's another way?
Then you're a fool,
Honesty said.
And that's honest truth. You will fail if you do not seal Spark away. If she gets her way, all of creation suffers.
Then a fool I shall be, I said. But you are a fool too, for helping her.
Honesty shifted, looking uncomfortable. I stumped a hoof.
There's another way, isn't there?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't. Spark, she's dangerous. If she gets her way,
she said, trailing off.
I can't help you. Not directly, at least.
What do you mean?
I said, cocking my head.
Myself and the others, we're tied to the model forms that we have created for ourselves,
Honesty said.
If you can disperse our model forms, then you will have a chance at Spark. It's not much.
How do I do that? I asked.
The gem in the chest of our model forms. Destroy the gem and you will destroy our model form for a short time.
Honesty said. I raised an eyebrow.
But I did that already to Kindness, I said. And I was told that she wasn't gone.
Honesty grimaced.
Kindness still maintained a link to her model form when you destroyed the gem. In order to disperse our model forms, you must convince the Spirit of Harmony to sever that link, she explained. As I will now do for you.
Why would you do that if you want to help Spark succeed?
I said. Honesty shook her head.
You misunderstand, Radiant Star. Spark controls us. We don't have a choice. I would much rather go back to sleep and wait for my next bearer to call on my strength, but I can't. You woke us up. You alerted Spark to us. This is your problem to fix.
The Orange Mare said, narrowing her gaze at me.
I can't help you directly, so this is the best I can do.
I
said, catching my breath.
Thank you. What's going to happen when this memory ends?
You'll be back in the waking world. Unfortunately, so will be my model form. The form is corrupt and it will not realize anything has happened. It will continue to try and capture you.
Honesty said.
Great, I said. And here I thought this was going to be easy.
Just being honest with you, Star. You are going to have to fight and fight hard.
Honesty replied.
Destroy the gem, disperse my model form, and find Spark. Finish this once and for all.
I nodded.
I will, I said.
The memory began to shift and shimmer, finally disappearing into nothingness. I grunted, my eyes forcing themselves awake on their own. Pushing myself up, I felt my sides flare up in pain. It was like liquid fire was pouring through my veins, but I had to push through it. I had to. Across the rubble from me was deceit. The orange alicorn looked like she'd taken a real beating, scuffs and scrapes marring her formerly immaculate form. She stirred, her own eyes opening in a flash. With a roar, she jumped to her hoofs.
What did you do to me? She challenged. Tell me and I will make you daft quick.
I grinned.
You know, I don't think I want to tell you,
I replied, lashing out with my magic, sending a telekinetic blast at the other mare. Deceit snarled and jumped back, taking the brunt of the blow with folded wing. She hissed as she pulled her wing back and kicked down, sending a spray of rubble at me. I lifted my alicorn shield, the rocks deflecting off the solid barrier.
Nice try, I think I felt something there,
Deceit growled.
I will enjoy ripping you limb from limb, Radiant Star, she said. Spark didn't say that she wanted you alive after all,
the mare sneered.
Let's test how strong your body really is, shall we?
Blah, 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 I said. Less talking, more fighting, kay?
I jumped to the side, lifting Stargazer from where it had fallen. I sent a wave of bullets at the other alicorn, forcing her to dodge. I took stock of my situation, scanning as quickly as I could for where the others were. My EFS was no help, of course. The entire forest was a sea of red, completely obscuring the yellow blips that were my friends. I growled as Deceit rushed forward, intent on a full frontal assault. Her front hoofs came down on me, sending columns of rock straight into my chest. I grunted in pain, rolling in a tangle of limbs and wings across a clearing. I looked up to see Deceit flying into the air, intent on dive-bombing me from above. A shot of silver fire was my saving grace. Thunderflash's shot tore through the air, catching the orange alicorn in the wing. She went soaring backwards, landing with a thud. I pushed myself up to see Violet standing next to me, her eyes wide. Behind her stood Lilith, Sunshine and... Steeljack? The gray stallion was on his hoofs, standing shakily but standing nonetheless. Violet had replaced his chest plate, hole and all. I could see the bandages through the hole. He smiled painfully, waving with his hoof. My mind raced as I wondered where Nixis had gone to. The Hellhound appeared to be nowhere in sight. I didn't have a moment to vocalize that concern before Violet pounced on me.
Star, are you all right?
Violet said as her horn lit up, examining me with her medical magic.
Shit, you look like hell,
she grunted. I was pretty sure that she was right. I hurt all over. The only possible way I'd hurt less was if I was dead, and that really wasn't an option.
How long were we out?
I said. Violet grimaced.
For at least an hour, there was a shield around both of you. We couldn't get through until you came out of it, she said. I blinked. An hour? I looked back over to where the seat had fallen and thought about what I'd seen in the memory with honesty. I needed to end this, and I needed to end it now.
There's a way to stop her, I said. We need to destroy the gem in her chest. It won't stop them for good, but it will give us time. Time we need to find the rest of the charts and spark.
Rest of the charts? Lilith questioned.
Discord broke the chart up and hit them, I said, grimacing. Seems like something he would do.
The seat began to stir once more, pushing herself into a standing position. She snarled.
Well, it seems the gang is all back together, she said. Step aside and I promise I won't kill you. All I want is Radiant Star.
Never,
Violet challenged.
We won't leave her.
Fine, then. Let it never be said that I didn't offer,
Dayseed replied nonchalantly.
Time to finish this.
I agree,
I said, narrowing my gaze at the orange alicorn. My eyes drifted down to the glowing gem in her chest.
Time to finish this for good.
I lifted Stargazer.
Violet, I want you to cover me. Give me an opening.
But Star...
Violet started to protest. I cut her off with a look.
Just trust me, all right? I said. The rest of you, hang back. Intervene if you have to.
Lilith nodded, grabbing onto Steeljack and Sunshine and pulling them towards the nearby underbrush. Violet hefted Thunderflash into the air with her magic. I charged forward, sending a set of bullets towards Dayseed. The orange alicorn grunted and stomped a hoof, kicking up a wall of rocks that absorbed most of my shots. A blast of silvery fire soared past her head, as Violet's initial strike missed. Dayseed sneered, kicking the other hoof into the ground. A stone spear shot out, flying at Violet. I growled, throwing up a shield spell that covered my mare friend, forcing the wayward projectile to go to the ground. I flared my horn, sending a blast of telekinesis at the rock wall, shattering it into tiny pieces. Dayseed kicked down again, but didn't make contact as I put a shield under the other alicorn's hoof. I pushed out with a wave of magic, sending the mare flying through the air. She grunted, spreading her wings to slow down. Violet pressed the attack, firing with Thunderflash as fast as she could. Silver streams arced across the clearing, slamming into Deceit's forelegs. The orange mare howled and fell to the ground hard. She pushed herself up almost immediately, igniting her horn to block the bullet fire as I unleashed Stargazer's fury. The shield held, dispersing the fire. Deceit kicked down, sending several large shards of rock soaring at us.
Duck!
I shouted, pressing to the ground. The rock charts flew over our heads, impacting the earth behind us. My insides felt like fire, painful and raw. I was going to lose it at any moment, but not before I finished my task and stopped Dayseed. I pulled Violet and myself to our hoofs, leveling a telekinetic blast at the alicorn's shield. Brute force wasn't working as well as it normally did. Dayseed was freakishly strong, even without her connection to the Spirit of Honesty. I had to be smarter than I normally was to defeat her. The blast dissipated, blinding the other mare for a brief second. I shot forward, charging through the debris. Dayseed looked up, her eyes widening as I shot past her, drawing her attention. Her shield faltered as she turned curiously her gaze on my departing flank. Violet took that opening and sent a blast of fire into the alicorn. Dayseed roared as Thunderflash's unique magical energy licked her flank. I spun around, flaring my horn and readying another blast of telekinesis. My eyes widened as I saw several sets of large green eyes open in the forest around us. Four timber wolves leapt out from the underbrush, surrounding us. Lilith and the others had been forced out of the hiding spot by the wooden beasts. Dayseed snarled under her breath.
Great, I said softly. Nothing is ever that simple, is it?
I lifted a hoof to my side, breathing hard. The timber wolves snapped and slobbered, circling us like the dying prey we were. Dayseed was the first to strike as she kicked down, sending a column of rock right through one of the wolves, shattering its body into multiple pieces. The remaining timber wolves took immediate notice, disregarding us for the new threat. They pounced as one on the orange alicorn, biting and howling. Dayseed kicked out, sending the timber wolves flying into the trees surrounding us. More green eyes glowed to life in the forest. It was like we'd stumbled upon an entire nest of the things. I grimaced. There had to be some way to use this to my advantage, I just couldn't figure out how.
More timber wolves emerged from the underbrush, bearing down on Lilith and the others. Steeljack fired several times with Tempest's rifle, sharp retorts turning wooden wolf heads into splinters. Lilith kicked the bitch into high gear, blowing holes into the ground and timber wolf legs. Violet stopped and turned, melting a wolf into silvery goop with a SATS charged shot from Thunderflash. Daisy charged at me, ignoring the chaos and the confusion of the fight to engage me once more. A timber wolf appeared in her path, snarling and snapping. Daisy didn't even slow, shattering the poor creature under hoof as she trampled towards me.
Shit!
I thought as Daisy swung out at me. I ducked, but only barely. I felt the wind above me through her swing. If she had lost any power at all from having her connection severed from honesty, she wasn't showing it. The only major difference was that she was getting more sluggish. My eyes widened. She was getting tired. I didn't know how it was possible, but it was. I just needed to put her in a place where I could strike. I began to pull a bit of magic into the base of my horn, readying a spell for when I'd need it. I pushed myself out of her range, barely making it away from one of her powerful hoof strikes. I landed on the backside of a timber wolf, who roared loudly as I jumped into the air and spread my wings. A quick burst shot at the wolf took it down. I turned my attention back to Daisy, who had also taken to the sky. She shot forward, attempting to close the distance between us. I lifted Stargazer, sending a spread of bullets out before flaring my horn and casting the teleportation spell I'd been building up. I disappeared in a flash, appearing behind Dayseed. The bullets I'd sent flying shot past the Alicorn, coming right at me. I grinned, extending a sheath of telekinesis out. I turned them about, sending them flying back at Dayseed, who had only just realized what was happening. The bullets struck her in the chest hard, her eyes widening.
No, no!
Dayseed shouted as she dropped like a stone towards the ground below. She landed on a timber wolf that was getting a little too close to sunshine, flattening it and crumpling on the hard earth. Another wolf snarled, leaping after the pink unicorn. Sunshine squealed for help, and then something amazing happened. A massive form burst out of the rock below, slicing the timber wolf's head clean off. Nixie's roared with unmatched ferocity as my friends turned the tide against the lupine beasts. I soared down, coming to rest as the battle ground to a finish. Violet and Lilith were using Thunderflash and the bitch to incinerate the leftover pieces of the wolves while I stepped towards where the seat had fallen. The orange alicorn had been cut and scraped all over, but to my amazement she was not bleeding. There was no blood at all, actually. I blinked in confusion before remembering that Twilight had said the element's mortal forms were golems of some sort. A stray thought entered my mind.
Substantial magic given physical form. No need for sleep or food. Supposedly an untiring body,
I thought. But Daisy had tired. Was that because her body had been severed from the spirit it was supposed to represent? Was all that was left the corruption? I didn't know, and I didn't quite care. Daisy's head tried to move, tried to look up at me. She held a wicked grin on her face.
Oh, you have no idea what you're up against, Radiant Star. She hissed, her breathing shallow. The others, they will find you, and you will submit.
I grimaced, my eyes drawn to the gem on her chest. It was sparking, a chip blown out of its otherwise flawless exterior. I brought my foreleg up and kicked down, shattering it into tiny pieces. The seat spasmed a brief second before her body dissipated in an orange glow. I felt a pulse in my saddlebags as Twilight's memory orb popped out and absorbed the fragments of the gem into it. I blinked. It had done that when I'd fought cruelty too. My mind could only focus on one persistent question. Why? Of course, I didn't have much time to think about that before my eyes rolled up into the back of my head and I passed out.
Star, Star, come on, wake up. Please wake up. Oh, Celestia, please.
A voice from above me cried out. It was accompanied by soft tears pattering on my cheeks. My eyes fluttered open softly and I beheld a vision of incredible beauty. Sure, her mane was frazzled and her eyes were red and puffy, but Violet was my savior. Her eyes widened as she noticed I was awake.
Violet?
I croaked. My throat felt incredibly dry.
Don't move around too much, she replied softly. We're safe for the moment.
I blinked. I couldn't see too much beyond her.
Where are we?
I asked.
And can I get a drink of water?
Violet nodded, pulling a canteen out of her saddlebags. She lifted it to my lips and gave me a few sips, relieving the agonizing dryness in my throat.
Nixie's found a cave not too far away from the research lab, she said. It appears to be uninhabited, thankfully. Is that why it's so dark? I said.
Violet nodded. Her horn lit up, sending up a ball of light around us. The cave around us came into view. It was a simple one-room cave with no tunnels anywhere.
Thanks, Celestia,
I thought. I could see the others huddling along the cave wall. They were all nursing wounds of some sort. Steeljack lay resting while Nixie stood guard over him.
What about Steeljack? Is he...
The antidote worked, at least as well as it could have. I'm not sure it's completely out of his system yet, but for the moment, he's up, Violet said. We need to seriously consider pulling back to Ponyville for more medical supplies. I just used the last of the bandages on you and we're down to very few healing potions. I sighed, grimacing as my eyes traced my sides. Bandages had been applied to the worst of my many wounds. I had certainly been hurt the worst during the fight with Deceit. At the very least, I no longer felt like my insides were going to split open.
If that's the case, you go. I'll continue on and get the next chart, I said finally.
Violet's eyes widened.
Oh no, that's not an option, Missy, and you know it, she said. If we go, we all go. End of story. Violet, we don't have the time, I said. If we don't get those pieces of the chart, we won't be able to stop Spark. I know this is what we have to do.
Violet sighed.
There's another option, then. Lilith could go, she said, her expression pained. I don't want to do that because she's a heavy artillery user and she's been helpful in this environment. Then we continue forward as a team, I uttered softly. Violet, we can do this. I know we can. I know how to find these elements now. And you almost got yourself killed fighting one of them, Violet protested. At the very least, let's find out what the others think. I think you should be able to stand.
I nodded, pushing myself off the cold cavern floor. It was shaky, but I was able to get there. The others smiled as I trotted into view.
We need to make a decision, I said. Either we keep moving forward or pull back to Ponyville. I won't end this now. I'm going to stop Spark, whether she likes it or not. If you want to join me, you're more than welcome, but I will not begrudge you if you want to leave.
I'm staying, Steeljack wheezed, pushing himself up so I could see him. If we don't stop Spark, all of this will be for nothing.
You should be resting,
Violet hissed. I smiled, placing a hoof on her shoulder. She silenced, letting the others speak. Lilith bristled her wings.
You've got me till the very end, Star, she said. I wouldn't dream of ditching you now. Not after what we've been through together.
I nodded, my eyes gazing up to Nixie's. The Hellhound smiled toothily.
I'm with you as well, he said, his gaze drifting over to Violet. And I have an idea of how we can address our medical supply problem. There are many herbs with curative properties that can be gathered in the Everfree. It is the usual reason my kind ventures into this dangerous terrain.
Do you know what these herbs look like?
Violet asked, her eyes alight. Nixie's grimaced.
Unfortunately, I'm more of a philosopher than a botanist, but I do know some of their names. With your pipback, we may be able to identify them, he said.
Good, let's make that a priority before we move on, I said. We'll do some gathering and see if we can't find some of the herbs.
I looked over at Sunshine. The pink mare was silent and shivering. She started when my gaze landed on her, then looked up and nodded softly.
I'm here too, she said. To make up for, you know, but also because I want to be.
I smiled and glanced back over at Steeljack, winking.
I do agree with Violet, though. You should rest, Steeljack. We should all take a bit of a rest, I said, turning towards the entrance of the cave.
It was getting dark outside already. At the very least, there wasn't a multitude of stars hanging in the air. I wasn't planning on making that mistake ever again. I floated out Twilight's memory orb and the shard piece from my other pack. The shard hung there in mid-air for a moment before it impacted into the orb. The purple shard inside the orb grew larger, forming into a vaguely star-like shape with the orb at the middle. Accenting two sides of the star were a tinted yellow and orange set of crystals. I noticed the yellow ones were faded. I wondered briefly what that meant before the star crystal began to pulse. I lifted it up, feeling the energy coming off of it as it pulsed. Memories, emotions, all things great and small flooded my mind as I connected with the energy of the chart. I blinked and I was no longer in the ever-free forest of the wasteland. A bright and beautiful sun shone down from above, the sounds of the forest teeming with brilliant life instead of dangerous evil. I looked about, the shimmering glow of the green underbrush surrounding me.
"What's a—"
I said aloud as the images began to fade away, returning to the drab, dreary wasteland I was used to.
"What was that?"
The star began to pulse faster, sending a beam of light soaring into the sky.
"Shit!"
I thought, fearing that something or someone would see the light and know exactly where we were, like the other elements. The light pulled into the sky and shot forward, coming to rest over the top of the mountain range at the edge of the northern pass of the forest. It then dissipated in the form of what appeared to be Twilight's cutie mark.
"Star, what the heck is going on out here?"
Violet said. I looked back, my eyes wide.
"I have no idea,"
I said, looking down at the star crystal.
"Did you see that flash of light?"
Violet cocked her head in confusion.
"What flash of light?"
she said. I blinked.
"Violet didn't see it, but it was super bright,"
I thought, the gears in my head clicking into place as I realized I'd been the only one to see the beam of light. It was because I was still holding the star crystal in my magic.
"That must mean—"
I thought, looking at where the light had dissipated.
"Violet, I think I know where the second piece of this chart is located,"
I said, pointing off in the northwest at the mountain range.
"Up there."
Violet looked at where I was pointing and grimaced.
"Jeez, that's really far," she said. "Are you sure?"
I looked down at the star crystal again. I nodded.
"The thing showed me,"
I said, lifting the star crystal so she could see it. Violet's eyes widened in awe.
"Oh, wow, it's pretty,"
she said, lifting a hoof to it.
"Can you feel that? It's like it's alive."
I put my hoof on the star crystal. It pulsed slightly under my touch. I could feel the pulsing growing, the connection to Twilight growing. I blinked.
"Yeah," I said. I can.
I looked over at Violet as I lifted the star crystal and placed it in my saddlebags. My eyes felt drawn to it.
"What happened? Why did I see old Equestria? What did it even mean?"
I thought.
"What do you think it means?"
Violet said as we returned to where the others were sitting inside the cave. I shrugged.
"I don't know,"
I said, looking to the others.
"I know where the next piece of the chart is. It's up the mountains, somewhere. I don't know exactly where."
"The mountains?"
Lilith said.
That's pretty far away."
I nodded.
"Yes, we had better get some rest. Thankfully, it seems like this cave is abandoned. We'll hole up here until morning and then make our way towards the mountains while looking for the medical herbs,"
I said. Sunshine raised a hoof.
"Question,"
she said.
"What if we run into another one of those alicorn things?"
I grimaced.
"Then we fight. We can't let them have the charts,"
I replied.
"We need those to face Spark."
"And what are we going to do about old Sparky Poo?"
Lilith said.
"What's our game plan there?"
I hesitated. I hadn't really told the others yet about my plan to save the Wayward Element. I wasn't sure I was ready to either. There was too many things I still didn't know, too many pieces of the puzzle I'd yet to figure out. Was Spark like the other elements? Would I even be able to reach the true magic behind the corruption like I'd done with Honesty? I didn't know. Resigning myself to my answer, I finally sat and spoke.
"To be honest, Lilith, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to play out. I just know that Spark needs to be stopped, somehow."
I looked over at Violet.
"For right now, we're playing this by ear. We find the charts, we'll find Spark eventually."
I trotted over to where Violet had laid out our bedroll. I plopped down, groaning as I turned my attention to my bandages. Thankfully, I wasn't bleeding again, but I still felt like I could use a long hot shower, something I was pretty sure I was not going to get in the Everfree Forest. Violet sat down next to me, using her horn to cast her healing spell on minor cuts and bruises, relief flooding my body under her ministrations.
"You know, you really gave me a scare there,"
she said softly. I winced.
"Sorry,"
I said. Violet's gaze narrowed at me.
"What happened?"
she asked.
"You know, when you cast that memory spell, I saw the spirit of Honesty, along with the memory of Applejack.
I said, starting to explain what Honesty had told me. I left out a few details, notably the part about sealing Spark using another of Twilight's secret spells. Violet and I spoke about the details of the memory until it was time to sleep. I yawned loudly, laying my head on the ground. Violet did the same and soon she began to snore softly. I sighed, rolling onto my side. I wasn't able to get to sleep, despite how tired my body actually was. My brain kept running over the memory with Honesty. I couldn't turn it off. I sighed, rolling over away from Violet and standing. I tiptoed softly towards the entrance of the cave, looking out into the forest. I noticed Steeljack sitting outside the front, gazing calmly across our surroundings.
"Shouldn't you be resting?"
I whispered as I sat down next to him. He looked up in surprise.
"Star,"
he said. He lowered his head.
"Couldn't sleep. Figured this was the best place for me to be."
"Steeljack,"
I said, shaking my head.
"You need to rest. You can't be doing too hot after getting hit by that venom."
"I'm fine,"
Steeljack said, his eyes drifting down to his chest. His armor had yet to finish repairing itself. The hole was still there, but smaller. It was no longer smoking.
"I won't lie, that hurt like hell, but I'll be all right."
"Are you sure?"
I said. Steeljack nodded. I smiled, shifting on my haunches. I looked out at the forest. Nothing stirred in the darkness, which worried me greatly. The forest was teeming with thousands of little things that would love nothing more than feasting on our tender flesh.
"I couldn't sleep either."
"Oh, why's that?"
Steeljack asked. I sighed.
"Just a lot on my mind, I guess," I said. "I've been thinking a lot about where this is all going. Spark, the elements, Twilight. I don't know what to do with it all."
I sighed again.
"I've got a bad feeling about what's coming next."
Steeljack grunted in response. We sat there a few moments more in total silence.
"You know,"
he said finally, breaking the still air,
"Patch would have liked to have seen this."
He motioned at the sky above the tree line. Though the forest hid a good chunk of it, I realized that I could still see the stars and the moon beyond the sky. The moon hung there, challenging anyone to look upon its glory and fail to see the beauty in its pockmarked surface. It glowed brilliantly, forcing the stars to share the sky beneath it instead of with it. I smiled. Even after 200 years, Luna's presence in the world could be felt just by looking up at the nighttime sky.
"Yeah, she would have," I replied. I miss her too, Steeljack."
"When I was hit by that thing, I thought I'd never see her again, Star,"
Steeljack said softly. From my close proximity, I could see the pained expression on the stallion's face.
"I thought I'd be stronger about this, but I..."
I sidled over, extending a wing around my friend. He looked up at me with eyes wide.
"It's all right," I said. "It's okay to feel that way about some pony you care about. You really do love her, I can tell. I'm sorry to have to keep you two apart like this, but with her condition..."
Steeljack nodded.
"I know," he said. "I wouldn't want anything bad to happen to her, or the Folds for that matter. I made a promise to help you find the Spark bitch, and I'm going to keep it."
"Thank you,"
I whispered.
I really appreciate that. Just take care of yourself, okay?"
Steeljack grunted. I grinned.
"None of that now. You go rest. I'll take watch for the rest of the evening. I have a lot to think about anyways."
"You sure?"
Steeljack asked. I nodded.
"All right, then. I guess I'll see you in the morning."
The Earth Pony Stallion stood, disengaging himself from my wing. He slowly made his way back into the cave as to not wake the others. I turned my attention back towards the forest, lifting out Stargazer and setting it at the ready in case there was an attack. But at the moment, there seemed to be, well, nothing. The forest still chittered and chattered with the sounds of its many denizens, but it was as if the entire place was asleep or taking a break. I shuddered. There was no way this peace could last that long.